I'm Michelle from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, eyes down and welcome to episode number 135 of Better Podcasting. Today, we talk about a bunch of innovations since podcasting started.
In this week's Better Podcasting download, we talk about two media companies trying to make their own innovations.
In this week's Better Podback, we receive some tips from our listeners about last week's non-PC podcasting episode.
Finally, if you missed our live stream, we'll give you a bit of a glimpse into it as we talk about maybe the winner of this week's first ever live Better Podcasting live stream game. Lauren, start the show now.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode 135 of Better Podcasting. I am Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is the wonderful Stargate Pioneer.
It is in the middle of summer here in North America, and I'm so stoked. I had the day off because of an appointment I had to go to, and I was so fortunate to have such a great day that I had to mow the yard in.
I got to say that where I live this time of year, it's also generally gorgeous weather, but I started off the day with rain, but then it broke halfway, and it's always just a wonderful Canadian, absolutely wonderful day when something like that happens. So I loved it. And now we need to just talk about podcasting because that's what we are, as a podcasting show. And everybody knows you should get right into your content, right?
Exactly. You need to jump right into it. We're going to jump right into a how I could have saved my podcast story. We do two different versions of this. We do a how I saved my podcast story, which we received from our listeners, and then, or we generate them ourselves because we do save our own podcasts from time to time. Or we search for other people and how they have run into trouble and how I could have saved my podcast story through them. And that's what we're going to do today. And this is from a Reddit post that's like 3 weeks old, but it's a good one. So we've been hanging on to it for 3 weeks. So the title of this Reddit post was, "Had our first experience re-recording an episode tonight, and it was absolutely the right decision." That's the title. It's the whole thing right there. Had our first experience re-recording an episode tonight and was absolutely the right decision. He goes into, I'm assuming it's a he. He goes into some more depth here, so I'm just going to read it. Had our first experience re-recording an episode tonight and it was absolutely the right decision. I record a show with my wife called Adapt or Perish about adaptations of all kinds, usually book to movie, but we try not to limit ourselves. We've been releasing episodes since last fall, and we just cracked the seal on something we've always been afraid to do, re-recording an episode. Yeah, I know. Wow. A few nights ago, we recorded an episode on our latest topic, and we could both tell immediately that it didn't go well. It was by far our longest recording session. We were on focus. We lacked structure. We hadn't done enough research, and we really got in our own heads. After a couple of days, we basically each came to the conclusion separately that we should re-record. At first, I felt that if we re-recorded, we'd be starting a dangerous habit of constantly second-guessing ourselves and wasting a lot of valuable time. I'm so glad we did it. We just finished, and it was so much better, and we had so much more fun. A couple of things we learned. One, our episodes are better when we've properly researched our topic. And two, our episodes are better when they have a specific structure. And three, our best episodes happen when we've had a stiff drink. Okay. I'd love to hear what other folks' experiences and opinions are with re-recording. Stephen, what do you think about re-recording?
You know, I have to say that I think that this is actually a really good way to handle a situation like this. A lot of times people are afraid to do this for the reason that was mentioned. Like, absolutely, that's something you should be a little bit afraid of. You don't want to sit there and spend way too much time redoing every single episode, because it's not about being perfect. It's about being good enough. That's the key. And so something like this, if you hung up an episode and you went, wow, that's just really a stinker, I think that this is an absolutely viable way to handle that situation. And I know, Aspie, you're dubbing this a how I could have saved my podcast story. I'm actually going to say that it's a how I did save my podcast story. And the reason why I say that is because they did that. They made the executive call and they saved their podcast, because otherwise it would have just been a crummy episode. What's the difference between putting out like an episode that you know is really crummy, or putting out an episode where you cut out halfway through because of technical problems and don't fix it? There's no difference. It's just one's creative, one is technical. So I think that they did save their podcast, and I think that this is a good way to have handled it. But you don't want to do this every single time. If you find yourself doing this, you know, I would say if it happens a couple weeks in a row, fair enough. Maybe you got something going on here with your life. If you do it more than 2 weeks in a row, you're doing something wrong in your prep process, and that's where you need to think about how you can save it, which is just doing better prep.
Exactly, and that's why I was saying I could have saved my podcast story, because if you did the better prep up front, then you wouldn't have had to save it later on. But it's great if you need to re-record for whatever reason and you have the opportunity to re-record. That's not always an option, but if you have that opportunity, I would go ahead and go do it. So I just want to thank the good folks for Adapt or Perish for posting this over on Reddit about, like I said, 3 weeks ago, and enlightening our audience from your experiences.
Absolutely. And good find, SP. Good find. I know that you're pretty much, you don't actually work anymore and just spend all day on Reddit. That's the truth, isn't it?
Even at work, I've spent all day at Reddit. Yeah, it doesn't exactly matter if I'm here at work. It's like the Jetsons. It doesn't matter. I could be in the car, and I could be working in the car because I got a self-driving car, or Rocket, as it might be. And then, you know, I work at home and I work at work, but it's all on Reddit.
All right, let's go ahead and start with some podcast innovations. This is a lot of fun for us to talk about. Here at Better Podcasting, we often find ourselves recommending a bunch of solutions to a variety of different problems or podcast situations, whether it's something simple like how to save your podcast, or maybe it's a full-on episode on mobile gear. Check out betterpodcasting.com/134. We often talk about these individual items, and sometimes it's easy for us to take for granted how much podcasting has evolved. You might not know this, but this actually marks, this year is my 10th anniversary in podcasting. It's coming up in August, and I have personally seen and experienced a lot of change within podcasting. My process, everything that I do, has changed in the last 10 years. And I wasn't even one of the OG podcasters, the originals. So absolutely, you can imagine, since podcasting started, how much it has changed. And today we're going to talk about a variety of these podcasting innovations. We're going to talk about some hardware, some software, some service changes, and some other miscellaneous stuff. Now, full disclosure, we are going to talk about some innovations, and it's to get your sort of creative flow going a little bit there, but we're not going to talk about all of them. So don't send your hate mail to us. Instead, go ahead, find a podcast you don't like and send it to them.
Or you can tell us more information about what we haven't talked about, and we'll be glad to include that on a future show. So, okay, let's go ahead and get it out of the way. Let's start with hardware innovation, since both Steven and I have the gear acquisition syndrome, whatever. And we like to look at hardware gear, audio gear, recording gear, video gear, all gear. It's all good. So obviously the first one we're going to say is the Audio Technica ATR2100. We'll also throw in the AT2005, our personal favorites between the two. There's also the Samsung Q2U. These microphones are ideal, and they're a dream for podcasters. Even back when, Steven, you had the Fanboy Buzz, I remember you telling me the story. You guys had a host who needed a new microphone, mm-hmm. And it needed to be simple, and you had a limited amount of budget, so you went with something that we wouldn't recommend now, but you went with?
A Blue Yeti. I know. Oh. Okay, now you can send your hate mail to me.
Well, at the time, though, that you went through this, because this is, what, 2008, 2009 time frame. Generally speaking, a plug-and-play USB microphone was going to be a condenser. Now, the ATR2100 changed all that. It sounds good. It's easy to use. It's affordable. It's a dynamic cardioid. So you're reducing that ambient sound and noise and perhaps even eliminating or at least reducing room reverb or echo. So the ATR2100 was a game changer. Not only that, but you can use it both USB and XLR. And we've talked about all the advantages of that microphone. But that, in my opinion, in our opinion, is a revolution or an innovation for podcasting that wasn't there when it started. So let's not stop there. There's actually a variety of easy to use hardware solutions that are available now that weren't available back in 2004. This itself is a major innovation, hardware as a whole. Now, while they might not be the microphones that we recommend, the fact of the matter is that there are a plethora of cheap USB microphones available now that weren't available when podcasting started. So if you want to go into some of those, the Podcastage YouTube channel, that's Bandrew Scott, he does that channel, and he's reviewed a ton of these cheaper USB microphones, these condenser USB microphones. I would recommend that you go over there to get his best of and see if you really got your heart set on a condenser microphone. I don't know why you would listening to this show, but if you do, go ahead and hit Bandrew up and he will not lead you astray, as we would probably lead you astray back to the dynamic cardioid microphones. But it's not just microphones either, is it, Steven?
No, the entire USB landscape has changed so much since podcasting started. Let's frame it this way. Podcasting is generally accepted to have started in 2004. I think that's a fact that you will find is not argued. It's 2004, right, SB?
Yeah, it's September, October 2004 Dave Weiner and, yeah, the whole thing.
So now let's consider the fact that Windows Vista came out in 2007, which means, therefore, really, we are looking at like Windows XP frame for when podcasting started. And think about how many drivers back in those days, if you had a Windows machine, you know the pain of getting a piece of hardware and installing the drivers. Now you look and there's so much more plug and play ability on Windows and Mac side of things. So much just works out of the box a lot easier. And even when those things don't have a baked-in driver to the OSs, a lot of times it's a lot more straightforward process. Anybody can do it. You don't know how many people I had to help install their scanner, of all things. So it's like, you could think about how much a hardware interface device, how hard it would have been back then. So now it's so much easier to do. Some great examples of USB audio interfaces and USB mixers are also those great portable digital recorders that have a good preamp, and a lot of those will act as an audio interface. Plug and play. Try to do it with your version of Windows or Mac. It likely will work.
Yeah, and these preamps are good enough to drive large diameter, broadcast diameter, dynamic microphones. And I actually did a video over this at our Gonna Geek Gear YouTube channel when I inserted a Rode Procaster into my Zoom H5 and it was driving it just fine. So yeah, these portable recorders can do the actual broadcast microphones, or they can do interview microphones, or just your average dynamic cardioid microphones. They are good enough for all that. And these really didn't exist at an affordable level, and definitely not as a easily user interface level as was back in the mid 2000s.
Let's frame it this way. It would have been impossible. Well, I'll say short of impossible for a hobby podcaster to have done it.
Yeah, that's why a lot of the early podcasters came out of the either radio broadcaster or probably the music scene, because they had the audio gear to begin with. They had the mixers, the microphones that they used for singing, and they were able to insert it some way into a computer so that you could record out it, or they had a simple recording device where you can record a stereo output. Now you can record each microphone on a different track. It is a great innovation to have now that we didn't have then. So we use our Zoom devices all the time, and I think Zoom and everybody else, you know, Sound Devices, Mix Pre's and stuff like that. I thank them all the time for enabling us to be able to do what we do. But it's not just about the audio gear. As much as we would love to say it's all about the audio gear, it's not about the audio gear. It's everything that you take for granted on a day-to-day basis in podcasting. For example, for those of you who have watched our full video show, you'll notice that both of us have microphone desk boom arms, and specifically, we both use the Heil PL2T. It's similarly priced as the Rode PSA-1. And back in 2004, you had to spend a ton of cash to get something like the Heil PL2T or the Rode PSA-1. And since podcasting has picked up, these products have become more easily available. There's been an increased market for this sort of stuff. So even if podcasting wasn't the reason for these pieces of equipment, it has sustained these pieces of equipment. And also a little lesser, I'll dare to say inferior products are available too. And these are like the newer arms and stuff like that. But they'll work great as long as you're not moving them around for a starting podcaster. Now, we won't break all of these down, but there are some other items that you might take for granted right now. For example, headphone options, headphones, studio monitoring headphones, other than the Sony MDR-7506s. There's a lot more headphone options today that are at the affordable level than there were back when. I mean, you had to spend hundreds of dollars for a studio monitoring headphones if you were working in the audio industry back then, and now you don't have to. So that's pretty good. We have some amazing webcams, don't we, Steven?
Yeah, you've got like the C920, the C922. These are things that back then you weren't getting that quality camera. There's also the things like the DBX-286, which those of us that have it take that for granted for sure. We're just so used to flicking the switch and having it turned on. Or wait, fun fact, it doesn't actually have a switch. And the list goes on and on. Another thing we all take for granted, but we do want to break down, are these guys here. We're talking about, by the way, for you audio listeners, we're talking about cell phones. Yeah, we're talking about cell phones and smart devices. Consider this, the first iPhone came out in 2007, which the first iPad also came out in 2010. If you think a little bit about that, fun fact, the year 2004 comes before both 2007 and 2010. I know, wow. That's mind blown, right?
Are you sure about that? Because with time dilation and I don't know.
We'll have to check our math thing on that. But okay. Yeah, really though, if you're using one in your day-to-day operations, whether it's simply to have notes on or it's for other more intense purposes, back then you would have had to have had a separate laptop, or you would have had to have multiple monitors. You would have had to have some form of alternative because, again, 2004 is before the first iPhone or the first iPad came out.
I remember listening to the radio a lot, talk radio, and I remember people rustling around with their papers, and early podcasts are that way as well. And we don't have to deal with that noise pollution anymore, except for when Steven's trying to make a point about that as well. And we do have a quality microphone selection right now. We're going to end this section where we started with microphones. And this is about quality microphone selection options. And it's no secret that the Heil PR40 is a staple of podcasting microphones. And this is largely because our favorite podcaster, Leo Laporte, it's his favorite microphone and he mentioned it. So a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon. But we don't really recommend it. We recommend other microphones, but the reality is it's popular and it enhanced the large diameter dynamic cardioid broadcast style microphones to the average podcaster. It's at an affordable price. Now, the PR40 is a great example of how, as podcasting has evolved, microphone options became more affordable and attainable. And yes, many of these microphones were available before podcasting, but now you have a variety of samples and people with experience to help you take a little more risk on something or maybe even rent one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on to software innovations, we are going to talk a little bit first off about the golden staple, which is Audacity. And Audacity is a great example about how software has evolved since podcasting started. Now, here's an actual fun fact is Audacity predates podcasting. I looked it up. Audacity started 18 years ago, May 28th, 2000. So that was before podcasting, but the product that was then is likely not the product that is now. I have not downloaded it because, let's be honest, why would I do that? So, but it's a good example about how now there are people who just use Audacity. They look at other things and they go back to Audacity because it's such a well-developed piece of software. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of people yelling at their iPods and their phones right now saying, Steven, you know why you don't like Audacity personally. But for a lot of podcasters, it works really, really well because there's all sorts of features in there. You've got things like plugin possibilities. It's got a bunch of built-in effects. So really, that's a great example on how software has evolved. You also have other options available like Reaper, Magic Vegas Movie Studio, which again, is a version of the professional version of Vegas, which for consumers, it's now available. Back then, it wasn't. You've got Adobe Audition, SoundForge, Pro Tools, and even for Mac, you got GarageBand.
And lots of options and many more than that, too. But hey, for a cleanup perspective, whether you're using Reaper or one of the other ones we talked about or Audacity, there's so many plugins available now on the market. Now, many of these plugins are relatively new, such as the iZotope RX and a variety of Waves plugins. That's actually a brand, Waves. But you also have ones like SPL Dverb, which are lesser known, but still great for some podcasters. And fun fact, I use SPL Dverb on a weekly basis with one of my shows because I have a co-host who is very echoey. So there's professional software, and it's actually very attainable for an average podcaster now, too. And if you go down that route, you are looking at like the Adobe Creative Suite. And the reality is that Adobe Suite adds up like $53 American per month. That's a lot of money per year. But considering that each Adobe product used to be more like the $700 to $1,000 plus price range per product, this is a lot more affordable. And it's more updatable too, I might add, because you're not trying to scrape by with a 3-4 year old product because it costs so much. But especially because Adobe does things like offer Photoshop and Lightroom and together for $9.99 a month, that's a lot more attainable. And this is even without the could be professional products that we spoke about earlier, such as Movie Studio.
So moving on from software to service. Service has evolved so much since podcasting started. Hangouts on Air is a great example of this. While Hangouts on Air is video, we like to point out the Hangouts on Air, how it can enable podcasters, because we actually have fellow Gunna Geeker, Chris Farrell, who's from the All Things Good Nerdy podcast. He actually started his first podcast on Hangouts on Air. And the reason he did this was admittedly because he was being lazy and it was a way that he could communicate with his co-hosts and have it all baked into one video file that he could then convert to audio. So absolutely, it's a great example on how things have changed. There are, of course, a variety of other recording services available now, and there's also been a variety throughout the years too. So you've got things like Zoom and Squadcast and Ringer. We said things of the past. You have things like Blab.
R.I.P. Blab.
Yeah. You also have TriCast, which is trica.st. And then, of course, you have a plethora of different Skype call recorders available, like Evair MP3 Skype call recorder and Ecamm call recorder. Sorry, I'm trying to get up the courage to say you've also got things like Zencaster. Oh, sorry, I can't even say it anymore.
Well, you know, yeah, while we don't recommend it, it is an innovation because it was able to take multiple different tracks from each individual computer. So it was trying something new. And even though it's not working out, at least not that how it's currently configuration, I will say it was an innovation because you have people now starting to be able to do things like we do with multi-track editing with our hardware recorders. They're starting to think about how they can do it with their software recorders as well. So I'll take that as an innovation, even though we do not recommend Zencaster. I'll say that again. Right now, we do not recommend Zencaster. So one of the biggest evolutions in the way of podcasting is actually file hosting. So back in 2004, you pretty much had to know how to run a website and host your own files. Now you have a variety of companies that are called media hosts that directly cater to podcasters. And it's actually a little fun to us to see competitors like Pinecast and Simplecast making a lot of podcasts. It just continues to show the evolution of the space. And I actually, Stephen, I think we should have a little horse race bet between ourselves on whether or a win the Pinecast or Simplecast gets to the point where we can actually recommend them, like Podbean and Libsyn, because we're both pulling for them to get to that point. And so we'll have to talk about it offline, but I have a good bet on which one of us is going to pick which one. Okay, so let's move on. There's also a lot of other easy to use organizational services such as Google Docs, which we use a lot on the Gonna Geek Network. And there's also Evernote, which I've used in the past. OneNote, I know Chris Farrell started using OneNote a while back. And we use on Better Podcasting, the service called Trello to organize our planning services on Better Podcasting. So those are all great. But, you know, if you have a service and you make it really easy to podcast live, like Spreaker, Mixler, and Twitch, this is an incredible a capability now that didn't used to exist, right, Steven?
No, actually, before I podcast, I used to do some Shoutcast streams. And yeah, those were real pain to get going. And I know, SP, you also had experience being a consumer of things like Ustream and TalkShoe. And there was also Livestream and Wowza. But yeah, definitely has all evolved quite a bit from back in the day. And of course, one thing we should mention service-wise is if you want to make money with your podcast, we don't talk about that often here because we are hobby podcasters and we like to gear it towards the non-money side of things. You used to have to do things like put a donation button on your website or whatever for PayPal, or maybe get yourself a PO box that people could mail you a check. You got things like Patreon now, which helps. So a Patreon will help people make money, as well as things like affiliate links too. Those are another way that it has changed for podcasters who want to make some money.
Yeah, and things like YouTube advertisements where you can enable, or I mean, it doesn't have to be YouTube, it could be Spreaker, or whatever service that you're using might have a way to monetize. Might not be the best way to monetize, but it is available and it didn't used to be available. And there's even podcasting services available to outsource your work to, and that didn't used to be a thing. But I'll give you an example. Emily Prokop of epodcastproductions.com. She can edit your podcast and actually help you plan your podcast too, from what I've been hearing. She actually works with the podcaster quite a bit. So you have podcast consultants and services like Emily does, and that didn't used to exist back in 2004 because, hey, what's a podcast, right? And finally, there's other changes that have happened, but not just with podcasters themselves. So we're talking about other innovations now. So the consumption of podcasts has changed and evolved. There's more people aware of podcasting now. You can go to those great studies that come out on a yearly basis that we talk about. And there's much easier ways to listen to podcasts now than there used to be. First of all, there's actual apps on your mobile devices. You have your mobile device with you at all the times, and there's an app that you can actually stream your podcast to or download your podcasting to. And one that I'm not such a fan of, but I know it exists, you know, CarPlay apps or those same apps that I talked about on a mobile device, they're available in the cars now. YouTube is a thing now. People actually put their podcasts like we do on YouTube. Now, it's not technically a podcast. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the show is there, right? But this is beginning to sound a little bit familiar, you know, Stephen. Almost like we did an episode on podcast consumer evolution. Did we do one of those?
I can't think of one. Oh, wait. Yes, we did. It was betterpodcasting.com/70 if you want to hear the way the podcast consumerism has evolved. So you can definitely check that out there. Now, there is one thing, though, that has not changed mostly. It is the RSS feed. This is, of course, as we all know, it 100% authentically stands for Really Sexy Stargate Pioneer.
I have not heard that one yet. The one that it's often called, but it is not really, is Really Simple Syndication. It is actually Rich Site Summary. Now, most podcasters will agree that without the RSS, you just have audio or video on the internet, right? Can these options work like podcasting? Yes, maybe. I mean, there's the whole thing about subscribers over on YouTube right now, and that's really never worked like RSS feed. But if you actually got a subscription model through a service like YouTube that worked like an RSS feed, then yeah, it could take the place. But without that RSS feed right now, you simply don't fit in the model that's been podcasting since 2004. Could that change in the future? Maybe. But right now, you have to have an RSS feed to be considered a true podcast.
There is one thing, though, on the RSS feed, though, that we should say before everybody again sends their hate mail over to another podcast that's not us, is the RSS feed itself has not changed, but some of the content within it has. And what we mean by that is like the iTunes tags that recently were updated. Now, that's not, of course, a universal standard. That's Apple's push for a standard, but it is something that we should mention, that the content itself within RSS has a little bit changed here and there, a little bit.
Yep. Good enough. Good enough. So what are some of the ways, and I'm talking to you right now, the listener, and I'm talking to the viewer over on YouTube. What are some of the ways that you used to either create podcasts or listen to podcasts that have been innovated into something else, or maybe you're using something that you know is an innovation and we didn't talk about it? Please go ahead and contact us. We'll talk about it on a future show. You can catch us on our Twitter at BetterPod. You can catch us on email podcast@betterpodcasting.com. And you can catch us on the Facebook at facebook.com/betterpodcasting.
Indeed you can. So let's go ahead and move on to Better Podcasting Download.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
All right, this one's a fun one for us to talk about today because it's about Audio Boom. If you didn't hear us talk a few weeks back about Audio Boom, there's been a whole bunch of weird changes within the acquisition slash reverse acquisition slash whatever your technical financial term is. You can go ahead and head on over to geeks.link/boom boom. We'll make it easy. Geeks.link/boom boom will take you over to the article that we're about to talk about today.
So we spoke about Audio Boom in the past, of how they had basically 4 weeks of operating capital and then they didn't know if they were going to be able to operate past that or not. We also talked about the fact that they made a statement saying, we don't want smaller podcasts on our network or media hosting or whatever. We don't want to service those people anymore. Well, there's been some clarifications and they came up with some more funding. So I actually started following the podnews.net newsletter. And if you're interested into podcasting news, I heartily recommend that you go over to podnews.net and sign up for the email distribution there. It's not spam. It's actually good stuff on a daily basis.
I got to say, by the way, while we're talking about podnews.net, it is so much better than some of the previous sites that were out there for podcasting news. Podnews.net is amazing. So absolutely.
There's not only the newsletter, there's the website, and then there's a daily show, which I access through my Amazon personal assistant every day. So it's really short, too. So it's actually great. Anyway, so Pod News ran this story last Friday, June the 8th, and they said that, hey, the Audio Boom actually raised $6 million. Actually, it was 4.5 million pounds because they're in the UK, but it's the exchange rate is about $6 million. So the announcement was made by the London Stock Exchange. So Pod News went out and they actually called up Audio Boom and got an interview. So there's some additional information here. So the company had withdrawn from an attempted reversed acquisition of Triton Digital in May and had been seeking a new investment. They were slated to run out of funds, I believe, by June 16th, 2018, which was about 4 or 6 weeks in the future, whatever. Now, the new funding that they achieved comes from a mix of current investors and new ones. So they have some new people throwing in some money into the hat. In the meantime, Audio Boom will continue to focus on acquiring new podcast publishers for the company to represent for ad sales. Quote, we really want to accelerate the growth of that. And this is from Audio Boom's chief operating officer, Stuart Last. He said, quote, highlighting that this is an area of the market that has grown to be considerably more competitive. Audio Boom's package to content publishers will include more competitive revenue shares, a promotional budget, as well as guarantees of minimum revenue. All publisher payments will be up to date by the end of July, and we fully appreciate that we need to try harder there. And that is a reference to the fact that they had stopped their payments to their publishers, which if I was a content creator on their network, that would have rubbed me the wrong way, but they had run out of money, so that's the way things go. And then asked about comments made in the financial statements about smaller publishers, Stuart Lass said, he took time to clarify the Audioboom's position, quote, we're fully committed to working with podcasters of all sizes, unquote. And he went on to explain that Audioboom had old legacy contracts with a number of smaller publishers who weren't bringing in ad revenue, but were taking a lot of management. And those contracts have now expired or been renegotiated. And the last thing he said is, quote, we want to commit proper marketing spend to Audioboom Originals. We need to make sure that when we invest in a show, it's important to make them a big hit. So each podcast at launch needs to come with proper marketing dollars. And I'm going to take the last part first there. At the last quote that he said there really stems to the point where they are now what we would consider to be a content producer like Gimlet or NBC or you name it. They are a network producing their own original content, and that's where they see where the money is. I'll give you an example of how this is important. Earlier this year over in the Sci-Fi Channel, they canceled a very successful show, not really successful in the ratings, but it's just a phenomenal show called The Expanse. They did so largely because they only had the first run distribution rights. The actual publisher or creator company, and I don't remember which one it is off the top of my head, they have all of the rights actually signed off to Amazon. So, you know, Amazon came in and they took the show up for their first run. So they renewed the show, they saved the show. And that is because they can control all of the content now starting from season four on. And like I said, it's an amazing show. So that is the same in podcasting, right? So if they can control all of the content, if they own all the content, they can sell it at their will. So it's kind of important from a business perspective. But again, we're not necessarily into the business of podcasting here. We're about hobby podcasters. So we have to look at how this announcement goes into actual hobby podcasters. So if you're a hobby podcaster and you're hosting on Audioboom, yes, they are searching for ad revenues for you, but I think you got to be in the higher download ranges. So I will submit if you're in the 20 to 100,000 downloads per episode, you're not really a hobby podcast anymore. You're more of an independent podcast or maybe even a professional podcast, and that you can obtain the monetization in order to keep your show going. And I think that is where Audioboom wants to focus. Now, is Audioboom going to be successful or not? I don't know. Now, Steven, you gave me a weird look there about the hobby podcast thing. So what do you got?
No, I just think it's interesting to see them doing this. And I kind of think to myself that this shows that they're not really fully sure what their direction is. Because to me, it's a little bit out of left field as far as their statement about wanting to make Audioboom Originals, right? So that's why what the look was about. I question Audioboom's future, especially on the heels of the weird falling apart of the acquisition.
Yeah, I would not recommend Audioboom to anybody right now just because they're such a precarious situation, and I don't know if they're gonna last forever or whatever. And just their business model seems a little bit too businessy for me. I mean, it almost seems, it's just not something that I would want to be associated with. Now, I could be stupid, but it's just the way things are. So anyway, that is the announcement from Audioboom, and once again, our hats are off to the podnews.net team, mm-hmm. which I think is a team of one, by the way, but our hats are off to them of bringing this news out. Now, there was also another bit of news, which we actually obtained through several different avenues about the future of podcasting and Google. And this originated from a 9to5google.com article on that same day, June the 8th. And it's very interesting. So we actually discussed this back in the past about the Pacific Content series of articles talking about how Google was going to go through a podcasting strategy. And it was a 5-part articles. Now, I think that right now there's further indications that Google is going to take the biggest step forward, and that's an inherent app in their Google Play Store for podcasting, a native app, one that is available to all versions of their Android software. This is something that a lot of people have been saying needs to happen in order for podcasting really to take off on Android. Interesting enough, though, if you take a look at when Apple threw the podcasts app on the iOS, I don't think podcasts took a dramatic change forward in terms of download statistics. Yeah, maybe a little bit more recognition, but I think it was on the lines of the steady growth, and it wasn't just a monumental hockey stick curve sort of growth. So anything is good growth. I'm not saying that this would be bad. I actually do agree that this would be good. I just caution everybody, it's not going to be as innovative or revolutionary as you might think.
I think the big thing with the built-in apps is that it has appeal to the new podcast consumer, the people who get the phone and they go, oh, what's this? It's this podcasting. I've heard about these podcasts. Let me click up this app, because before they don't really know, oh, I have to get my own app. They're not really sure how to do that. So I think that's where these baked in, I've been saying baked in a lot this episode, but these baked in apps help people and is the new consumer. And I think that's what we're going to see, especially given that there are so many really good apps that exist already on Android. Now, with that said, I will say, call back again, I've been doing this for 10 years. When the Apple Podcast app did come out, or the podcast app on Apple came out, there we go, say it properly. A lot of people said that same thing. And quickly, I shouldn't say quickly, but slowly, people did end up adopting that. And some people are quite happy with it. In fact, if you look at the uproar when Apple changed the app last year, that shows how many people had adopted the Apple app. And again, a lot of people in the early days were saying that nobody's going to get this. There's so many good app or good podcasting apps available. So it'll be interesting to see. It's important to note, all of this is based off of a snippet of code that was found in Android, I think it was 8.7, that does make a call towards the Google Podcast app. So who knows? It could just be, maybe it's back to that whole Google search thing. We don't know, but it's looking like maybe there will be a podcast app.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what it is, and we'll go forward and optimize our podcasts appropriately if we need to make any changes. I don't know if we do. I think having the app available will be the first step for Google. I think the next step might be some Google specific ID3 tags, much like the way Apple Podcasts have, but that's like a year or two down the road. I don't see that happening by the end of the year.
No.
In 2018.
Although hopefully it does pick up very quick, because as a guy from Canada, I want to see the hockey stick curve, right?
Well, I mean, a guy from Minnesota who doesn't want to see hockey sticks and podcasting, let's go with it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get to the better pod back before we tell you about our first ever live experience game. Here we go. Let's start off with Ryle Davis Jr. on Tweeters. That's the new thing. It's the Tweeters.
Why not? Wasn't there a big lawsuit about that anyway? Well, Ryle Davis Jr. actually was the first person that I saw the information about the Google 9to5 article indicating the continuation of the development of the Google Store app to play podcasts. So thank you very much at R. Davis Jr. 12078. Thank you very much for that. We also had a tweet from my co-host over on the Starling Tribune and Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. at Michelle Ely, and she actually wanted to give a tip to her fellow podcasters. She said, tip, those power bricks you use to charge your phones, you can use them to power your H5 Zoom. And that's what she said, H5 Zoom. But we know it's a Zoom H5, but Michelle, thank you very much. And she posted a picture, and she was at a convention, by the way. I think she was at the Indie Comic Con. So she was trying to get audio from panels, and she posted a picture of her Zoom H5, which is hooked into her phone brick, the power brick. And I don't know how many amp hours it is.
And for the power brick, we should clarify, it's the battery brick that she's got hooked up. So, those little mobile battery banks. Yeah, that's really cool, because I know also you can use the phone, like the iPhone bricks or whatever, the things that are catching fire across the world. Those things there, you can use those to actually power the devices as well, because this is just standard USB power.
As long as you're not catching a moose on fire, I think you're doing pretty good. At Bandrew Says tweeted us, and he said, he's replying to our last episode, actually. He said, I have Aria on my iPad. It wasn't cheap, but it looks like it's a full draw. I haven't done much testing of it, though. And this is the mobile editing suite of Aria. That's A-U-R-I-A. I talked about it last week on episode number 134 when we were talking about different mobile podcasting apps, when we were talking about podcasting without a PC. We also had another tweet from at Let's Grow Lake County. That's at Let's Grow _ Lake CO. And she said, thank you, 746 times over. There's discussion of developing a network in your footsteps of your mold. And she actually posted a screenshot of her podcast with 746 unique downloads.
We also had, from the email side of things, we had Johnny Pennington actually send us an email. He went and he watched us on the TeacherCast episode that we mentioned last time, which, again, if you haven't checked it out, it's www.geeks.link/TeacherCast. SP and I did have a chance to do a bit of an interview. We were interviewed by somebody who just finds us amazingly good looking, right?
Apparently it was a fun time over on the Teacher Cast. You go check that out. And there's a lot of great tips about starting your podcast. And we tried to focus it in on teachers that might not have a lot of resources, because I actually have a daughter who wants to be a teacher, and I know how much money she makes or is going to make. And I feel very compassionate towards those people. So we did try to go low tech with the teachers trying to start podcasts and maybe just record podcast like things with their students. It was pretty fun.
And Johnny said, hey guys, I just finished listening to your June 2018 TeacherCast interview. By the way, thanks for dating that. We make sure, because obviously we're going to be asked back over and over, right? No, it's not going to happen.
I think we're going to be asked quite some time for years and years to come. Hey, when were you guys on that TeacherCast episode?
So anyways, he said that and he goes, it was terrific and felt very much like a better podcasting episode. With that being said, your episode number 117, although probably a better episode without you, never quite felt like an official better podcasting episode to me. With that being said, I now insert in my mind the TeacherCast episode as better podcasting episode number 117. As you know, and this is in brackets, as you know, all podcasting episodes numbered 117 of a successful podcast are traditionally jinxed. There's a callback to last week. So I am now, once again in my mind, replacing the far superior episode that you basically are not in with the TeacherCast episode that includes both of you. There is one question that you left out near the end when Jeff was asking you about super characters, one against the other and who would win. He seemed like he ran out of time before he could ask you the last question, which was Doctor Strange or Dr. Phil? We all await your answer.
I've already answered this to Johnny in email, and I basically said, well, yeah, I'm not the biggest Dr. Phil fan, so I'm going to go with Dr. Strange based on that. So, listener, if you have a preference between Dr. Strange and Dr. Phil, let us know, and we'll reply to Johnny as such.
Let's go ahead and just say right now, by the way, that Johnny Pennington, that is your own headcanon, because as we all know, better podcasting was better podcasting.
I was just going to say that if you didn't, that I have not replaced a better podcasting episode number 117 with anything. It is going to stay there. Jason and Emily did a phenomenal job.
If you go to betterpodcasting.com/117, you can see what all the hype is about. And finally, on YouTube, we actually had Majestic Entertainment News on our last episode say smashing the like button and gave us 3 thumbs up. So there you go. The like button was smashed, which we're not paying for.
Nope, not paying for a like button.
All right. So before we wrap up, let's talk briefly about what we alluded to throughout the show and just point blank sad. In our live chat, which we do usually record and stream this live, you can see all the errors that were made as we record on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific. That's 8 p.m. Eastern time. You find that at www.geeks.live. Well, we talked briefly last week about how there was some ideas being thought about for different better podcasting games to be played with the live chat. And this week, we played a game, and no, it was not the alluded to and discussed drinking game, because we were not agreeing with that. But we was better podcasting bingo. So Emily Prokop went and she found this awesome bingo maker, and she went to www.bingomaker.com was where she generated it and made our own bingo board for better podcasting, which if you want to check this out, you can at betterpodcasting.com/bingo. And the way this works is it generates a randomized board for people to play along. You can click on boxes and highlight them and whatnot. And you just have to go in and input the data. So she went and she took a bunch of our fun catchphrases and our fun common discussion points here on Better Podcasting and made ourselves a bingo card that the live chat could play along with. And I will say this, that it was very fitting who got the first bingo. And yes, we did ask people who got the first bingo to tweet us with it. And it was Emily Prokop. She actually did. And it was right when we went and during the first segment, we talked and we listed off all of the different services. Yeah, that basically filled up her bingo card pretty quick there. And then Bandrew got a second one, which was just a handful of minutes ago, however many of minutes are in a handful. He got a double bingo after SP and I dropped Canada. Or I think I did. So there you go. It was a lot of fun to play along with the live chat. And the reason we wanted to actually mention this on the show was, number one, to tell you about the fun you're missing out on when you don't come to the live chat, but also to give you an idea on how you can have some fun if you do interact with your audience. This was Emily Prokop's idea, and it was such a good idea. And Emily, thanks for doing this work. And so we'll give you full credit here. And of course, we want to share this idea with the Better Podcasting audience, because it was a great way for the audience to play along. Everybody in the chat said that they were having fun. Even Heather Welsh came in, and she came in a little bit late and got caught up and started to play along. So I hope that everybody who did come to the chat had fun with this. And maybe we'll have to keep on keeping on with this each week.
We definitely will. And maybe we'll have to invent a winnings, maybe a year subscription to SoundCloud.
Jeez. No, that's not, that's not happening here. Not happening at all. But if you've had a way that you've interacted with your audience, let us know. We would love to share that on this show. While we're talking about shows, let's quickly talk about the Gunna Geek Network. The Gunna Geek Network is our home. We have a bunch of amazing geeky content over on the Gunna Geek Network, a bunch of awesome podcasts. We try to tailor them to be geek oriented. People do have to apply. And if you've got yourself a geek podcast that you would like to get on the network, go to gunnageek.com/join. There is an application process. It's something that we do like to review all of these there. And you can check out all of the podcasts, including the latest episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show, which is episode 242 titled Gunna Bend iPhones. And on that show, we had GFQ Network, Suncast guest. And believe it or not, there was modern news about the old iPhone Bendgate. We like to try to dig out articles like that on the GunnaGeek.com show, and you can check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. But for episode number 135 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen John Drew. I think I got a bingo.
Speaking of bingo, I'm SP saying thank you very much, Emily. We love to play your game.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to play a little fun game of Better Podcasting Bingo. If you head on over to www.betterpodcasting.com/bingo, that's W, and then put that in the chat, www.betterpodcasting.com/bingo. Just copy paste. Wait, I think I put a comma in there.
Yes, you did.
There we go. So go to betterpodcasting.com/bingo and you will be generated a Better Podcasting Bingo card. Again, this is just for fun. Just for fun. So we hope you have fun with this. You can thank the one and only Emily Prokop for generating this. She went and she entered this in, found this cool little bingo baker thing. I'm assuming that it's actually going to make muffins. That's my assumption of it being a bingo baker, maybe some donuts.
Maybe that's what we give away, muffins.
I'm not mailing muffins. That's all sorts of international problems written all over it. Like,
just a little bit, yeah.